Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's first human underwater submersible as part of Deep Ocean Mission. The participants are Dr. T.V. Venkateshwaran, Senior Scientist, Vigyan Prasar, and Sagar Kulkarni, Journalist.
India has launched missions to the Moon, Mars, and the Sun. Now it has set its sights on unraveling the mysteries that lie in the deep ocean. The Cabinet approved the Deep Ocean Mission Samudrayaan in 2021. Samudrayaan is a special submersible developed by the National Institute of Ocean Technology, Chennai, that will take three scientists first to a depth of 500 meters in the ocean and subsequently up to a depth of 6 kilometers or 6,000 meters. We have with us T.V. Venkateshwaran. Welcome to the show, Professor Venkateshwaran.
Thank you and welcome to you, and also hi to all the listeners.
Professor Venkateshwaran, tell me, why is it important to study the sea?
Actually, if you look at it, I mean, 70% plus of the globe is covered with ocean. And very interestingly, I mean, when I tell this to people, they are completely surprised and zapped that we know quite a lot about the moon and moon surface than our own seabed. We know very little about our seabed. And that's one important point. I mean, there is so much of unknown about our seabed. Second is, India is surrounded by ocean on its all side. And then perhaps there are quite a lot of riches over there which can help us tide over some of the major problems that we are facing, right from energy crisis to need for new materials to address, let's say, health challenges and so on. So perhaps there is pressure under ocean, possibly that can give us some new ways. So exploring ocean is very important. And then after all, it has been always human quest to know the unknown, right? So after all, the seabed is unknown. So we do want to go there and find out what is over there.
So the Deep Ocean Mission plans to explore the ocean at 6,000 meters. The deepest point in the ocean is the Mariana Trench, which is 11,000 meters deep.
Yeah.
So why is 6,000 meters important for us?
See, for India, the 6,000 meters is necessary, important, and adequate. For the simple reason, at least in the current phase, is to see what lies under, let's say, Bay of Bengal or Arabian Sea or Indian Ocean near India, rather than looking at specific points which may have specific issues, like, for example, Mariana Trench. So if you look at the continental shelf and the seabed around India, Indian landmass, 6,000 meters is quite adequate. And then that itself is a very huge terrain. Even to map them, visit most of those places and take even samples is going to be a huge task. I mean, the extent of the seabed would be multiple times the extent of India's landmass. Imagine with one submersible vehicle, or maybe perhaps you might have a fleet of them in the near future. But even with that fleet of them, to take samples and survey, it's going to be a too difficult task. And kind of 6,000 is the normal, let us say, deep submersibles that people are working over all over the world. Although there are specific ones which can go up to 11,000 feet, I mean 11,000 meters, like Mariana Trench and all that. But most of the countries are focusing on the 6,000 because large area of seabed is within the reach of 6,000.
So the seabed is known to be a rich resource of minerals. So when we start the Samudrayaan mission, will we start mining for minerals, or we are just exploring them initially?
Seabed is multiple ways having riches. It's not just only minerals. For example, we know that there are certain deep sea organisms which perhaps contain certain bioactive compounds, proteins or enzymes which can have potential therapeutic value. So it's not just only minerals, it's also biological resources and other resources, including our knowledge, in fact. But the Samudrayaan is like the first baby steps. It's a preliminary effort. You are just going to have one submersible vehicle. You are going to test your equipments, your technologies, and so on. And then you have to also develop a suite of technologies. You know, like if you want to explore a seabed, you need robotic arms, you need suckers which can collect material. Many things you require, communication equipment. So the Samudrayaan is a preliminary step towards this grand plan to explore ocean seabed near India.
So are these technologies readily available, or will India need to develop these communication technologies, because your conventional telephones will not work under the sea at such a depth?
So one is that, see, if you are within not so deep inside ocean, maybe you can have cables and then you can have a communication through cable. But once you go to, even 500 meters or even below that, the cables are itself going to be very complex and difficult because the ocean currents would pull and drift the cables, and then it'll cause problem for your submersible navigation. So most likely you might be using something like other technologies, you know, like sonar technology or other technologies for communication. So which means that there are many things that you will have to develop, like communication technology, even lighting. What about lighting under sea, right? So even that you need to develop. People are going to be there. I mean, the plan is to have three people inside this submersible. It's a small capsule. I had an opportunity to go inside that capsule and see. It's like a very small room, not even a huge bedroom. It's a very small room. So when three people are going to be there in that cramped condition, their living conditions and so many things that you need to take care, right? So all those things, there are very many technologies that one needs to develop, test. Maybe few are available off-shelf, but I think that most technologies, even if they are available off-shelf, you may need to customize to Indian conditions because the ocean conditions are different, salinity is different, so many things are different. So you would do quite a lot of customization to our condition.
So what are the challenges one experiences while exploring at such a depth? And obviously, the material for the submersible will not be the conventional steel that we see or we use in different experiments.
Yeah. So first thing is that the moment you start going inside ocean, for almost every 10 meters, you are going to have additional one atmosphere of pressure. So for example, on sea level, you and me are feeling the atmospheric pressure, which is sitting on top of our head, which is compressing us and keeping us in particular shape, right? Yeah. But then the moment you go inside water, it's going to double even with 10 meters. So if you're going to even go to 500 meters, that's going to be something like 52 atmosphere of pressure. So you would need to shape your vessels in particular way, like a spherical or something like an egg. You know, I mean, that's a kind of shape that you have to make. So that itself will create certain navigational complications. For example, like streamlining and so many things will be issues. So you need to work out on that by arranging fins in particular places and so on. So the going to deep sea is really a great issue. Of course, inside the submersible, the people will not feel that pressure. So right from human survival to constructing vessels to go that deep, there are so many challenges.
You said you have visited the submersible designed at NIOT. So tell us about your experience inside the submersible.
The submersible was under construction when I went there. So as I said, from outward, it looks like a football. You know, I mean, it's a spherical, roughly spherical. You climb from the top. There are steps inside, basically ladder inside through which you come to the workbench, basically. It's a very small room, something like, for example, washroom would be like in a typical house. That's the kind of size it has. They were building it. They were installing equipments. They were testing the submersible at that point of time. So I had a chance to visit, go inside and see. I mean, I would say that it's one of my memorable occasion in my life.
Professor Venkateshwaran, do we have any timelines for these explorations at 500 meters and later at 6,000 meters?
Currently, what they have announced is that within a year, they are expecting to conduct this 500-meter exploration. And then within the next year, they are saying that we will go up to 6,000 meter. I mean, that we will have to see because Gaganyaan, I mean, there are so many issues, right, from safety to technology development to technology testing. So I would say one should not rush, but take cautious but firm steps. And I'm sure NIOT would be able to pull it off. They have a very good team. I mean, very dynamic, enthusiastic team who have been working on this for quite some time. They have been looking at various aspects, testing every single step on their way. I'm sure it will happen, but the timeline, currently they have announced this. I mean, if it happens within the timeline, I'm very happy. But even if not, I mean, it's an experiment, right? So you need time.
Right. Very few countries have achieved this feat, actually. China, France, Germany, Japan, South Korea, and Russia. So it will be actually a position of pride for India to join this select club.
See, currently there are only 6 countries which have capabilities to go up to 6,000 meters and beyond, deep sea vehicles which can have that kind of a cruise. America, Russia, China, France, Japan and UK. South Korea is also building such a submersible which can take them to 6,000 meters. There are also a few other countries which are trying their hand. India has joined the select group. One important reason is that, as I was pointing out, we have a huge coast. There is ocean bed all around it. And then there is also some international thoughts that the ocean bed exploration can be kind of given to various countries, you know, I mean, like parcel it out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have our capability, then there is a possibility that we will have certain, you know, part of the seabed to our credit. Otherwise, something like, you know, the thing that happened when Antarctica Treaty was being made, I mean, people who had you know, station over there got a right over Antarctica and others were kind of denied, and there is a huge international debate on this. So there is also a, let's say, feeling that if we do it now, then when this international seabed authority is formed and then treaties are being made, then we will have a proper place in the table.
So currently, can we go anywhere and to mine the ocean, or we have to follow certain norms at the UN level?
See, at this point of time, there is some international regulation where you can go and do exploration. At this point of time, the mining is not something that has been kind of agreed upon internationally. We can go and do exploration, seabed exploration. You have this international seabed authority in which different countries participate and then decide to explore certain areas. That's what is happening all around the world right now. As you know, the ocean beyond a particular point is international waters. So who owns that is a question. You know, currently it's a common property, so anybody can go with a ship.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some debates and discussions about how to work out some kind of regulation. So in case if there is going to be mining, two people should not be fighting over one small piece of place, right? So how do we work out that? There are negotiations, discussions happening on this area.
So just like the space sector has opened up for private sector, do you see the private sector role in this area as well in the future?
See, at this point of time, it's very difficult because the investment, the technology needed is too complicated. I don't think any private firm would be able to invest that money as a risk investment. But who knows what happens in future? So I am hopeful that when international treaties takes place and people plan to explore the ocean bed and harvest some benefit for humankind, they will keep this in mind. I mean, these environmental issues will be part and parcel of the agreement and rules right from the beginning, not something as a later day imposition, but something from the beginning.
So certainly we have interesting times ahead. Professor Venkateshwaran, thank you for the exciting talk about Samudrayaan mission. This will certainly place India in a select group of nations to have mastered such technologies. Thank you for talking to Akashvani.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on India's first human underwater submersible as part of Deep Ocean Mission. The participants were Dr. T.V. Venkateshwaran, Senior Scientist, Vigyan Prasar and Sagar Kulkarni, Journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsttalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Spotlight.